church history and the evolution of theology and religions, actually. The problem with religion is their interpretation of Scripture. And in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, it talks a little bit about this. It says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times shall come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good." Well, it sounds just like America today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, holding to a form of religion, although they have denied its power. And avoid such men as these. It says, stay away from them. Run away from them. Get away from them. In religion, we've had the Catholic Church. We've had, these are big evils. The Catholic Church is a big evil in the history of religion. Islam is a big evil. I mean, these churches have murdered millions of people in the name of religion. Catholicism murdered between 50 and 100 million people. Islam, over 270 million people have been murdered, and every day somebody is being murdered. They're the only religion that practices slavery today. The only religion that practices slavery today is Islam. In America, we're inundated with this now. Even though we had a civil war over slavery, supposedly, it was over states' rights is what it was, and over tariffs. But we supposedly had a civil war over slavery, and yet slavery is condoned in America today. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. And then he goes all, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and now he goes all the way back over here to the Egyptian bondage when Israel was in Egypt and Moses went back into Egypt and he was in Pharaoh's palace. And in Pharaoh's palace, I want you to realize what took place now. We have a contest of evil and good. A contest between the devil and God, Jehovah. Now, you've seen the Ten Commandments, probably with Cecil B. DeMille and all of that stuff. And when Moses went into Pharaoh's palace with Aaron, they threw down a rod. This rod. Moses' rod, or Aaron's rod, so to speak. And it fell on the floor, and it turned in the movie, it turned into a snake, a serpent. But in the Bible, it is a tanin, it turned into a dragon, a big dragon. Now, Satan has powers, he's supernatural, and he has supernatural powers, okay? He is not omnipotent like God is, he is not omnipresent like God is. He's not all-knowing like God is, but he has supernatural powers. And he has powers to create things. I've heard so many preachers say that he can't create. Satan can't create. Well, he sure did. Right here. Not only that, if you read Genesis, the sixth chapter, we find angels cohabiting with women and bringing forth a creation of monstrosity. The Nephilim, which of Goliath and his four brothers and his father were all Nephilim. Now, two people are named. These two people are Jannes and Jambres. Now, Jannes and Jambres were magicians. They were magicians by the power of Satan. Satan has powers. In Egypt, in Pharaoh's palace, Moses' rod was thrown down in the floor. It became a tannin. Janus and Jambres threw their rods down, and it names their names here. It doesn't say their names in the book of Exodus or anything, but in the book of Jasher, it names them. Jasher, historical book. And it names Janus and Jambres. They threw their rods down, and the rods, by the power of Satan, became dragons. But Moses' rod ate up, swallowed those two dragons. How big were they? Like dinosaurs? Tannin, you see Chinese parades with dragons, fire-breathing dragons are bouncing around. People are in there, you know, and these dragons are going down the street. That's the idea of tannin, is a fire-breathing dragon. And it's a supernatural leviathan creature. Now, Janus and Jambres opposed Moses. Now, the reason why we have all these religions, as you look over here on this wall from top to bottom, you'll see religious writings from all of these groups. The whole top shelf is Islam, and then Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventist, Catholicism. You see all of these writings. That's because they don't want the Bible. They don't want the Bible. They twist the Bible. They wrest the Bible to their own destruction. We talked about the inspiration Bible. For all scriptures inspired, God breathed. And that's where we're going to go here. So these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind and rejected as regards to faith. They rejected Moses' calling. They rejected Aaron's calling. Now, you have to realize, now we watch a lot of movies, but it wasn't Moses that was speaking to Pharaoh, it was Aaron. According to Moses and according to history, Moses had a very strong speech impediment. And God called him to go back into Egypt, and he said, I can't talk, right? I can't talk. He said, God said, he said, who made man's mouth? Trust me. Come on, who made man's mouth? I made man's mouth. I can make you talk. Don't worry about it. But I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And he said, all right. Aaron's already on his way. He's already on his way, and he's going to be your spokesman. You're going to be like God, and you tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron's going to say it. So that's what happened when they went into Pharaoh's palace. Moses was there, all right, but Aaron was doing the talking. And by the power of Jehovah God, these miracles were taking place. The book of Jasher says that when Pharaoh, out in front of Pharaoh's palace, were two trained lions. We see gates like in... you go to a bank or something, an old courthouse, and they have a lion on this side and a lion on that side. This goes way back in history. Those were trained lions back then, and they had trained lions, and Moses and Aaron just walked past those trained, man-eating, man-killing lions. They were guard lions, so to speak. Now, they rejected. They saw the miracles of God, but they rejected God. Janus and Jambres were prophets, and they rejected the truth of God. Verse number 9, but they will not further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, and also that those two came to be. But you followed by teaching and conduct and purpose and faith, patience, love, and perseverance. Persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Persecutions I endured, and all of them the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men Imposters, religious imposters. Remember how many people died because of the word of Jim Jones and Moon and all of these other isms you got out there? Movie stars have been tied up with these cults and isms, the New Age philosophy and all of that. People that have rejected the truth. And yet the truth is here. We got it. The devil tried to destroy the Bible. We know that. We've talked about that. The original scriptures from the Greek language, the whole New Testament, Islam and Catholicism tried to burn every one of them. They burned them and burned them and burned them. Anybody had a page of the Bible, they burned him. I'm talking about Catholicism. They burned you for having a single page of the Bible because they didn't want you to know what truth was. Catholicism is not truth. Islam is not truth. But evil men, imposters, will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you, however, continue in things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing them from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood, Paul's talking to Timothy. What's the subject? The Scriptures. The Scriptures is our foundation of truth. And from a childhood, you have known the sacred writings. What did he know? The Old Testament. And the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul writes down this extremely important word. All Scripture, all God-given Scripture, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Teaching. You go to these churches today and they say, we're non-denominational. That's a joke. Non-denominational? I remember when I was at the Valley Baptist Church for 20 years. Now and then the pastors come up to me and they say, I'm going to send this guy to your classroom. See if you can do something with him. They were writing letters to the pastors telling them all the Unitarianism, all types of Buddhism, everything you can think of, mixed with what they thought about God. Conglomerations of religions, an eclectic religion from all religions. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching. That word teaching there is doctrine. Churches have to teach doctrine. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he an angel? Who is Jesus? The scriptures say that he is God, the God, Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And the Bible says, the scriptures say that Jesus Christ came in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, that he came according to scripture, according to the promises and the prophecies of scripture, that he was born of the right woman, of the right family. Even his earthly father, his stepfather, was of the right lineage because Joseph should have been on the throne of Israel, and yet Antony and Cleopatra had put Herod the Great on the throne. And the Jews accepted him because he built them a good church house. That temple, he built them this beautiful temple. Look over there how beautiful that temple is. And Jesus said over there, there won't be many days from now that there won't be one stone left upon another over there. It's going to be a waste. The temple. It wasn't God's temple. It was Herod's temple. All scripture is inspired of God. It means God for approval, for teaching, and for reproof. That means you correct people. For correction. And for training up. Spanking up straight is what it says. Spanking up straight. When you have children in the world, when you're graced by having a child, it is a gift of God. You have a responsibility. And the responsibility is to teach that child to fear God. And you are the example of God to that child while they're growing up. What they see in you will be their idea of God. Righteousness? Truth? Can you trust your mom and your daddy? Can you trust them with your life? Will they not lead you astray in the wrong way? Will they teach you how to pray? will they do these? These things are very important. Because you try to keep your children safe, don't you? You try to keep them safe from harm, but then you need to keep them safe from the world of religion. So you teach them the truth about the Bible. I preach in churches sometimes. They say, what do you have to go into all that detail for? I said, so your children won't become Jehovah's Witnesses or Catholics or Muslims. Oh, what do you mean by that? I said, so they have a foundation in Scripture. A foundation in Scripture. Training up, spanking up in righteousness. We say have to spank our children sometime, don't we? I mean, that's against the law now, you know. You can't teach children in the world today. Right is wrong and wrong is right, you know, and according to society today. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Something's wrong with that, I can tell you. That the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Paul said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, what did he say? What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. This is what we call the world-friendly churches. The worldly churches. And a churchy world. You know, going to church sometimes is an end thing. Go to church? Why, I had a guy tell me one time, does your church have donuts and coffee? I'll come there. I don't care anything about staying for service, but did they have donuts and coffee? They do that. There, that church where I was a pastor for so many years, they took all the pews out of the church because the pews are cloth. And they put in chairs, and they took the carpets out, and they put in the floor so they could mop up all of the donuts and the coffee stains off the floor. It's like going into one guy walked in there, he says, is this a nightclub or is this a church? When he walked in there. And we have extraordinary song services, which song praises to God is good. But when it becomes a concert, what are we doing there? Are we teaching God's word? Are we tickling people's ears, it says here? Ears tickled, and they will accumulate for them teachers in accordance to their own desires. They're going to find a preacher that does what they want to do. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside unto myths. This is where you have so many. Catholicism is full of superstition. Do you know that? Islam is full of superstition. We were talking about superstition a while ago. Religions like this are full of superstition. Just like voodoo. I did a series of messages, I think 19 messages on the charismatic cult in the world today. The healing houses and things and all of this, they don't preach the gospel. Come and get you'll get wealthy if you come here. If you just give, if you give a dollar, you're going to get $100 back. Well, it takes money to run this business, this church. And we do need offerings. But I'm not saying give a dollar and you're going to get $100 in return. That's what we call prosperity gospel. One of my friends was going to one of these prosperity gospel churches. And the pastor says, go out and buy yourself a new car. God wants you to have a brand new car. And don't go out there and buy yourself a Chevrolet or some old Ford. Go down and buy yourself a Cadillac. And she did. And she had it for 2 or 3 months, and finally they couldn't afford the payments and the insurance on the thing, so it went back. oh, no, maybe God didn't want you to have that Cadillac. No, we have common sense, don't we? What do the prosperity gospel, what do they offer the world? They offer the world the world. The Bible tells you, don't set your sights on the world, but on the Word of God and what God wants in your life. Don't try to bring the world in your life. Try to bring Christ to the world. It'll turn their ears away and turn aside. But you be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. God didn't, when you, there was a point in your life that you said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and save my soul. There's a point in your life when you do that. And God didn't beam you up, Scotty, when that happens. Did he? You're here. What are you here for? You're here to live for Christ. We all have hobbies. We all enjoy doing things, don't we? I love going in the mountains. I love fishing. I love working with guns and building shells and things like that. I like to do that. But when I do that, I always take Jesus with me. Wherever I go, I take it with me. For all Scripture is inspired of God. Profitable for what? Profitable for what? Instruction in righteousness. Profitable for bringing somebody to the Lord. Profitable for protecting your children from false religions. It is a sad thing when you raise a child up and they go off into error when they've heard the truth. And that happens sometimes. But if you don't teach them the truth, they're innocent lambs out there looking for wolves to prey upon them. I remember Marilyn, she always considered herself a Methodist. Didn't you?
Yeah. Until you. I was told I was a Methodist.
Yeah, you were told you were. And she came to my classes. And one of the first classes she took was church history. And in a little while, when we studied church history, she said, I'm going to be a Baptist. Because I know that, right. I know it's right. I'm a Baptist by conviction. Now, I would be a Methodist, I'd be a Jehovah's Witness. I am Jehovah's Witness, but not the kind of Jehovah's Witness that the Watchtower does. I tell you who Jehovah is. In beginning, kept on being the Word. And the word there in John 1 and 1 is the word for Jehovah. That comes from the Hebrew, Hadavar. In the beginning, kept on being the Word, and the Word was an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because the word Jehovah kept on being God. And that word there is talking about Jesus. We have to know who Jesus is. And you need to be able to prove to somebody how Jesus is. I remember I had this one fellow that I was acquainted with, and I was always studying the Bible, always writing from Greek and Hebrew and all this kind of stuff. He said, the Bible's corrupted. I said, well, yeah, the Bible's corrupted. He was a Muslim. I'd show him this little bitty things here, and I said, now, you know, the Scripture, usually the oldest form of Scripture is correct, usually. The earliest, what we call it, witness is correct. And we'll get into Islam later on. But I said, the Bible said this years ago, but I said, I also know what Muhammad taught. I said, there aren't seven earths, and the earths aren't flat. But you know you got religions out there today that believe the earth is flat? You know that? Because they don't study the Bible. The Catholic Church taught the earth was flat. When Galileo came along, they ran him through the ringer. Because he said the earth was round. The Bible always teaches the same thing. We have what we call theological fads that we go through. If you're going to practice any theological fads, you better go back to the Bible and make sure it's what the Bible teaches. You better be sure what the Bible teaches about that fact. I remember my cousin came to church and with his wife, and his wife was a scientist. And I was preaching. They happened to come to my class on Hebrew reading and research, and I was just starting the class, and the first two classes they came to, they attended. And I taught about John, or Genesis 1 and 1, Genesis 1 and 2. And I said, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, Weath Haaretz. In beginnings. In one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. Then I went over here to this chart. I said, the earth and heavens were created in eternity past. And I said, that's before time. And that's a whole lot further than 6,000 years ago, people. You can believe in the young earth and all that stuff if you want to, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the earth is very old. And the Bible also teaches that God had created angels and spirits before that. We got that, didn't we? And we find out, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that Satan rebelled and he took one third of the angelic and spiritual forces with him, and they made a mess of the earth, didn't they? And cosmos, maybe. Maybe some of those dead stars out there, maybe that's part of what Satan did. Nebulous. Well, I taught that, and then I said, and the earth sheathed had been, and we ha'aretz, ha'yah, tohu wabohu, and the earth, she became formless and void. People have the God creating the earth in a chaos. The Bible says that God didn't create the earth in the chaos. But people, now the Jews, when they went off in the Babylonian captivity, they took the Hebrew scriptures with them and they wrote the Babylonian Talmud down there. The Mishnah and the Talmud. And the Kabbalah goes way back. And in that, they began to think that God had created a chaos and then he brought order out of chaos. No. God created perfection. He's the author of perfection. What he does is perfect. Got an old Rolex watch here. Right there. And when Rolex puts their name on something, it means something. It says precision. It says genuine chronometer. And when they write that on a watch, it means something. When God created things, he created perfect. He didn't create Satan, he created Lucifer or Hylial. And it became bad. You know what happens if a watch doesn't run right? If a watch doesn't meet the standards of Rolex? When it gets there and it's all together, they take a hammer and they smash it. They're not going to have anything going out there that's imperfect. And that's one reason why I don't believe that God creates reprobate people. People reprobate themselves. Angels reprobated themselves. God didn't create them that way. These are some foundational things that we teach from Scripture. And the Scripture is the Word of God. And the Scripture is our full standard of faith and practice. Father, I send this message out that it will help people in the study of your word and in knowing you, that they'll come to know you, the God of love, but yet the God of justice. And Father, please use it to bring people to you and to bring people into a firm foundation from your word.